Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to our broadcast this evening. I'm Teresa Hudson, and I'd like to welcome everyone to Crosswalk Talk Radio. Crosswalk Talk Radio is a production of Crosswalk Life Incorporated, and you can find us at www.cwlinc.com. Our host is Carlotta Waldman, an ordained minister of counseling, prophet, counselor, seminar leader, author, and the founder of Crosswalk Life, a restoration ministry. And I'd like to introduce you to Carlotta. How are you tonight, Carlotta?
Very well. Thank you, Teresa. We are so happy to have Wayne Sutton with us tonight. We're going to be talking about how to bring about real change in your life. I wish I could say that everyone that receives Christ does it so that they could know Him. Many receive Christ because they're afraid of going to hell, but many receive Christ because they want change in their life. Tonight we'll have Wayne Sutton with us, and he has written a wonderful book, How in Hell Can I Change? And it's a manual for your total transformation by the very Spirit of God. And it reveals not only the lies and misconceptions that may be holding you back, it's also clearly painting you a step-by-step roadmap to victory in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Teresa, this ought to be very interesting to us because
I know
we've been majoring on this for years.
I know. It's right up our alley. It's so awesome how God's connected us, isn't it?
Well, the first time I talked to Wayne, because I've only met him this year, was to ask him, you know, how similar and how different what he's doing is from what we're doing, because I'm glad to say that he is reaching a segment of the people that we don't reach as many of. We don't have a hotline. We work by appointment, and I think they're reaching a lot of the people that are, the first response, first callers, who want to know what's holding them back and why they can't change, and they're helping them find real help, like permanent change, like finding the lies and deceptions that are in their life. And I know this has been a real interesting thing to you, Teresa. You want to say something about what God's done in your life?
Well, yes. I tell you what, Carlotta, it's just been amazing. It's been on a long journey, and I've actually found you online, and
I'm sorry, are you there? Teresa?
Yeah.
Are you there?
I am.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying how awesome it has been because I found you online on the internet, and the Lord had just divinely appointed that search that night. And so when I found your website on Crosswalk Life, it was very interesting to me, because it had a lot of resources. I listened to some of your recordings, and when I heard people talk about how God was working in their lives, and you put things in there, like really how people were seeing open visions of the Lord and how that lives were being changed, that was what I wanted. And, I just started a journey because the deal with me was I knew I needed help, but I didn't know how much help I needed. It was funny, really, how God just so awesomely connected us, and you're just so awesome about knowing just some of the deep things that God has taught you and do a lot of things that some people wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, but you're very courageous, and you can get right out there where God has placed you. But anyway, it's really been a journey, and the Lord, even though I knew Him from when I was a 7-year-old child, I had a lot of secrets and a lot of covered over sin in my life, and didn't even really know it was there. But through your ministry and some of your teaching going through the Now Faith School, it was just awesome. It was just awesome to see how God just started revealing things, layers of deception came off, and he's just done so many miraculous healings. I couldn't tell you how many things I've been delivered of, really, and the Lord has just done an awesome work in my life preparing me for what He wants me to do to help others.
He certainly has. It's absolutely amazing to me. And sometimes my assistant will ask me, how do you stand it? Well, you know, when people first call in and they're just so deceived and the devil's told them so many lies and victimized them and hurt them and brought trauma into their life and fooled them. And I said, well, I just know what the Holy Spirit's going to have done in their life in just the next few sessions when we meet with them. And it just keeps me going because it is so exciting to see how the Holy Spirit supernaturally transforms people. Mm-hmm. Just great. Just great. And people want to be changed. They may act like they're okay. They may act like they don't mind being so stuck. But I think we all really want to be everything God's created us to be and maybe have just despaired that it's possible. When I was interviewed on TV last month, I was supposed to share, they said, my salvation testimony. I said, well, actually, that's quite short. You know, I invited Christ into my life, and he came in, and I was totally prepared to believe that he's really who he says he is, but I couldn't make the Christian life work. So I spent that whole TV program talking about the search that I went on and the books that I read, trying to find out how you make the Christian life work. So I think we're going to really enjoy hearing from Wayne tonight. He's on the line now. And Wayne, I want to welcome you to the program.
Not only sharing, but I'm enjoying listening to what your ministry is doing and looking at your website. I'm really impressed with what you're doing. As you said, a lot of times I think I get the first responders, but I really see what you're doing is just great for the body of Christ.
Well, many of the people that we get are actually ministers already or called to ministry, and they've just exhausted every avenue that they know of. And I don't mean to sound proud. It's just that a lot of us have spent a lot of time and money trying to get free and transformed ourselves. And then finally, we realize just getting hurts healed isn't going to do it. Just getting our mind changed isn't going to do it, you know, and just getting delivered isn't going to do it. But we need to go to a ministry that helps people from all sides. We call ours an integrated ministry because we do it all. You know, we hit something from every side and help a person come into full agreement with God so that God can go ahead and bless them, transform them, and train and equip them the way he's been wanting to. But what's your story? We've got Wayne Sutton with us tonight. Please tell us, what motivated you to turn to Christ? Do you have a few minutes to share that?
Sure. I'd love to. My story, as you said, is pretty similar also. I grew up in the church. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. But what really got me, Carlotta, was when I was going through what I call the cycle of a Christian. You know, I got born again. I'm on fire for God. Everything's great. But then those things in life, those challenges, just kept coming up. The sins in my life kept telling on me. And it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And I just got to the point I didn't think I could do it. I remember in my teenage years, I said, Lord, I can't do this. I can't be a Christian. And then I rededicated my life again in my early 20s. And then a few years later, just like the world and the sin and everything just kept coming right back at me. And I found myself, you know, falling right back into the same destructive lifestyle. And the title of my book, How in Hell Can I Change? That's what I asked myself, I don't know how many times, how in hell can I change? And then when I got involved in the ministry years later and really started working with people in Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and just every your next-door neighbor, I realized I'm not the only one with struggles. When you get through the facade of the perfect Christian, you know, and you get below the three-piece suit and so forth, and you can see a real person, real issues. And that's what got me involved. I said, God, I want to be able to touch people and really get beyond the, you know, I want to get transparent with people and really get into what's holding them back, what's hurting them, what's their challenges. And the first person to start with is the man or the woman in the mirror. I had to start with myself.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
That's not only been the longest process, but it's still a process I'm going through. And I'm pretty sure every Christian, we all go through that process. And God changed me, mold me, teach me, deliver me. And, you know, I respect your ministry because, as you said, you're dealing with a lot of ministers. And I believe that, unfortunately, a lot of the body of Christ believes that once they've received Jesus Christ and once they're born again, they're done. They believe that's they're at the finished mark. You know, now they're just bring as many people with them as they can. They don't realize that there's steps to being delivered. There's steps to breaking through. And that's one thing that I believe the enemy has a stronghold on people and has really put a veil over their eyes that they still need to go even beyond that salvation so they can have victory on this side of heaven.
Amen.
So that's why I wrote my book, and that's where our ministry is leading towards trying to gain ground for the kingdom's sake with people outside of church, people that, your next door neighbor. I used to tell people, if you see a drug addict or you see they probably know they need help. If you see somebody that's really just buried deep in sin, a lot of those people know they need help. But what about your next door neighbor? What about the person that's middle class, two kids and a dog, everything's great, they don't realize the generational sin, that does not realize their destiny is damned if they don't grab a hold of the Holy Spirit and just let Him start working in their life. So my story is an up and down story as many Christians, because the up and down is, we get up and we're on fire for God, but we're pulled down because it's a battle. We're at war every single day. And the problem is, I don't think most people realize they're at war. They don't realize there's a battle taking place. They're blinded. The enemy has blinded them to the fact that not only are they in a battle, but every person they see is in a battle every single day to bring the kingdom of heaven at hand on earth and to deliver people from the kingdom of darkness.
Well, we're all in a battle, and I think a lot of people think that it's with the people that have hurt them and traumatized them, and while definitely that was a struggle, they don't realize that there's other factors like sowing and reaping, and whoever you judge, you become more like them, and whatever you expect, you get more of, and they don't realize that we're not just products of our environment like psychology would teach. Mm-hmm. But I think the saddest thing is that they don't realize that Jesus Christ really does have an answer, because there are so many Christians that think they're a Christian just because they go to church and their lives aren't really that transformed.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I'd like to add is that sometimes we don't even know that we're believing lies. We might think that we believe in the Bible and we believe everything the Bible says, but sometimes you can be reading a verse and, it's flat. It's like you know you believe it with your head, but your heart's not believing it, and there's a stronghold in there trying to keep you from believing the truth. So I think that's another thing that causes people a lot of consternation in the Christian life is they think they're believing it, but they're not believing it with their whole heart.
We see that a lot also if we're ministering at different places, or a lot of our ministry is done over the internet and over the phone, and we see strongholds of belief, religious beliefs, and a lot of times that's got such a detrimental effect on people, because they, as you said, they read the Bible, they believe they're a Christian because they're following this or that, but they never get to the intimacy. Intimacy with Christ is, everybody wants to ask, what would Jesus do? But until you truly, truly know Him, until He's truly part of you, what we end up doing is making our own rules and regulations and laws and calling it Christianity and calling it a relationship with Christ. I think too many people, we have this God that, he loves what we love. He hates what we hate. He likes the same flavor ice cream we do. That's my God. And what we've really done is we've created an idol. We've created a God that fits our understanding, a God that fits our belief system. And And we've really created a God that sometimes is not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of the universe. So, and that goes back to intimacy. Are you truly pursuing truth? And sometimes that truth will reveal things that I know your ministry experiences that you may not want to live up to. And you may some sins or some lifestyles may come up that you may not want to have to face. But if you really want intimacy with God, you've got to face these things. And I think also on the flip side, sometimes we see some strongholds, some mental beliefs that are not true, that have held people up, and they're trying to have a holiness and righteousness. But what they've really done is just created a legalistic mindset that's really harming them more than it's freeing anybody. So I think, in my opinion, it really goes back to, are we becoming intimate with the Father? Are we letting the Holy Spirit change us and transform us? And many times He will work, there's seasons where He'll send us to somebody such as your ministry that has been, that has been led by the Holy Spirit that can lead people. Not a lot of times I think the Holy Spirit will do an individual work. But it is a process. I like what you said earlier, if I can comment on that, about integration. And integration is something our ministry has really focused on in the last 12 months, even really strong, because whatever it may be, we see people that are struggling in spirit, they're struggling in their body. But until you understand integration, how God works almost holistically, it's hard to get free totally. And so I think very, very few ministers, very few ministries believe in integration or know how to apply it.
Well, they don't know how to minister to all from all sides at once, so to speak, because when a person is trying to get free, they not only need to change their mind and come out of agreement with the devil and into agreement with God, they need to break the power of generational patterns that have held them back. They need to know how to repent and ask forgiveness. We say five ways here. We need to have forgiveness for blaming God sometimes, for judging other people, for not forgiving ourselves, for not forgiving others sooner. We need forgiveness for our own sin, of course. But they need to get their hurts healed. They need to get delivered of demonic spirits. And all of it to really enjoy 100% the abundant life that Jesus came to provide. And He died so that we would not only be forgiven for sin after sin, but that we could take the whole structures to the cross and bring them to death. And that's when it really starts getting good. And I think some people have despaired and have even left Christianity because no one ever taught them how to get the healing and the freedom that Jesus already paid for them to have.
That's true. That's very true.
What inspired you to write the book, Wayne?
Working with people, as you said, there's a lot of people that have just faced a lot of despair. They don't know an answer. When I started working in the Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, when you saw an adult that was, anywhere from 20 to 60 years old that would just break down and cry because they could not get free. And in some of those organizations, there's some people that are there simply because the court systems made them be there, or I think some of them are there even looking connections for their next drug deal. But there's some that are truly trying to change. And I saw them just cry out. I saw them break down more than once. And they're not very religious. If they say hell or damn or something, it's okay to them. They don't, they're not trying to live up to a moral code. They don't have that structure. They don't have that paradigm. And they don't, even though some are seeking God, many are not. Many are just, they're just seeking something. They don't know what they're seeking. And one of the questions that come to mind when I see that is, how in hell can I change? There's that hopeless despair in their voice and in their cry. And I started working with them, and they go through the 12 steps, and they go through all this, but there's so much, there's such a, instead of the 12 step, they need the Holy Spirit, and they need, and there's so many things that are not being taught there. And so I started really looking at their message, what they're teaching, how they're trying to help deliver people from these addictions and these lifestyles of destruction. I also started looking, because I'm an avid reader. I love to read, and I just have hundreds and hundreds of books. And I just, when I look at the self-help and the psychology books and different books out there that are just promising, you know, if you, it's really funny if you want to have a best-selling book, you don't write what I wrote. You write The Secret or something. You offer somebody something for nothing, and you just, you know, there's so many books out there that are offering help. Solutions, but most of the solutions I found, whether it's talking to them in a 12-step program or going through a book, most of them are absolute lies from the pit of hell. And they creep into these books. They creep into these structured programs. Not saying it's all bad. I wouldn't dismiss it all, but you have to be careful when the enemy starts creeping in lies. But I believe that one of the biggest powers against true transformation, and I say this in not judging, but I'm trying not to judge, but saying this from a fixing the boat from the inside out, it's in the church itself, in the pulpits. We have so many people in the pulpits that do not realize the power of the Holy Spirit to change lives.
Amen.
They do not realize, even ministers, the power of the Holy Spirit to take individually and change people and transform people. So what we do is we come up with formulas, we come up with different legalistic approaches, and we preach it and we teach it from generation to generation to generation. And it does not bring freedom to people. It brings condemnation. It brings guilt. It brings judgment. So what made me write the book is I want people inside and outside of the church to realize I'm not the only one with issues. You know, I want people to read this and see that, okay, these people have issues too, and it's a process. You know, I'm pretty sure, Carla, if I went to you and said, I want to go through your program, it wouldn't be a one-time, it'd be a process. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us it's glory to glory. And that's one verse is what really inspired me to write this book, because it is a process. And if somebody can read this book, if somebody can communicate with your ministry or our ministry and realize, okay, this is not a crisis, it's a process, then I don't have to give up on God the first time that sin, you know, is in my life. I don't have to give up on God the first time I fall into temptation. I don't have to give up on God because he's not giving up on me. I can realize this is another step I've got to overcome. Maybe this something the Holy Spirit is bringing for me to overcome or to be delivered from. But it's a process and not a crisis. So I wrote the book just to reach out for that one lost soul to go, wow, Jesus Christ truly loves me. Not only loves me, but has a process, a plan. He's got a destiny for my life, and he's going to take me through it. And
amen.
That's my heart for this book and for our ministry.
Amen. Amen. What would you say are the biggest lies in the church today?
You know, that's a good question. Because when you're talking about the church, I know that the church is so dear, and it's so precious. It is God's method. It is God's way of bringing people into that relationship with him. You know, when we talk about our church system today. But I believe at the same time, that's the first place the enemy is attacking and the first thing the enemy is using to bring down his people, God's people. I think some of the biggest lies taught in the church today is number one is the live legalism. The you know, I believe in grace, and I believe the problem is too many people have taken grace and dismissed it, and put up this view of holiness that's really based on legalistic terms and legalistic rules that God never placed us under. At the same time, we have another group that wants to totally eradicate any view of holiness and just let a lifestyle of grace, or what the term they use is grace, is anything goes. You know, and I believe both are detrimental to the body of Christ. I do not believe someone should live any lifestyle they choose, because as you said, they're sowing and reaping. There's holiness that God has called us to. And at the same time, we can't hold people in bondage and because their way of living or their way of life, their lifestyle does not line up with our views of the God of our imagination, if it's not the God of the Bible. And that is, you know, I personally ran into that as a teenager. I said, I can't do it. I can't live up to this rule, and this rule. And, I mean, I love my church and I love my heritage. I come from a very Southern Pentecostal background. But there were some of the rules and regulations that would have me literally kicked out of the church that I couldn't find in the Word of God. And not only could I not, and so it really burdened me to I finally remembered thinking, I can't do this. I can't live this lifestyle. And instead of drawing closer to the Holy Spirit and saying, help me, I just felt ashamed. I felt condemned. I didn't feel worthy. So I just walked away from God completely. Mm-hmm. And you know what really gets me? Is that in my walking away from God, the Holy Spirit still said, I love you, Wayne. I'm still here with you, Wayne. And he kept pricking at my heart. He kept opening up doors I didn't see. And he was working behind the scenes for decades there that I didn't even see. How good God is, how glorious God is. And I want to just release people in the church that are not in the church. I want to release them into a relationship with an almighty God, in a relationship where his glory can reign and rule. And as I said, I'm a minister in the church. So I'm not trying to bash the church. I'm trying to repair it from the inside. I'm trying to repair it and trying to bring some, let people see that this is Jesus's, this is his method, this is his way. But let's not confuse that with our ways.
Amen. I know there are people out there that need hope desperately, that need hope to even go on living, that need hope that Christianity works, that Jesus cares, that they're not going to be condemned, that he really did come to heal them and set them free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe another, as you said, that there's so many. I think one of the biggest lies in the church today is you've got to be perfect to be, and you know, we may not preach it, we may not say it, but understood a lot of things in the church today are unsaid, but that you get the impression of. And it's very hard for people to be transparent and to be real and to say, these are my issues, if they feel like they're going to be judged. If they don't feel like they make the mark. I tell the story in my book of a gentleman that was here at a church here in Wilmington, and after the service, there was several of us young men, and we were all single at the time. And he made a very strong statement. He said, and this is a new believer. He didn't grow up in the church. He just received Christ just a few months earlier. And he said, how do you guys deal with sexual temptation? And I thought, wow, you know, he's asking questions I've never really heard at church. We were told to, you know, you don't do that. You don't do it. You know, but what about the temptation? And I said, you know, well, what do you mean? He said, well, how do you sex outside of marriage? How do you handle that? He was looking real solutions. And then I noticed two or three of the other brothers started giving them information, started sharing, for lack of better words, war stories, you know. And it was just really great to see that honesty, to see that transparency. And he got solutions. He got answers. But that's what we need in the church today, is we need transparency where we can go, this is my problem. How do I handle it? There's so many Christians that are facing adultery. They're fighting homosexuality. They're fighting anger and lust and greed. And you know what they don't need is somebody pointing a finger and judging them. What they need is somebody saying, here's a solution. Let's look at the root cause. Let's handle this, you know, and loving them through their situations. But as long as the church has the, you know, the image, you know, I know we're to be holy, but when we have this false image of what holiness is, then people come on the outside, they don't think they could ever measure up. They don't see the real person. You know, they see somebody else, and that's really scary to people, I believe.
I think what you're talking about there, Wayne, is something that's really God is doing in the church and allowing us to see that shortcoming. And now churches are becoming more open, especially those that have small groups, you know, that they can talk to each other and get real solutions and use resources, you know, that the Lord provides to really kind of walk people through, well, the steps. Well, you know, you got to repent and just, so many things, but I think the church is really, I see the days coming when the church is really going to be that relevant, just really relevant to people, and that's my heart.
Amen. I know your church is, Teresa. Tell them how many salvations that you've had at your church recently.
Oh, my gosh. It's just amazing what the Lord is doing. Just this last week, I know we had four or five new salvations in just my experience, and we have four different experiences over the weekend. But one, we have occasional baptisms. We don't have baptisms every week, so there are certain events that we have during the year for baptisms, and Easter is a big time for baptisms for us. And I believe it was last year, church-wide, we had 800 people, new salvations baptized, which is so astounding. And people don't know that God is just so much on the move. He really is.
Amen.
It's just awesome.
Well, that I want to comment on that because I'm glad you said that. Too many times people, we do not give credit to what God is doing and the Holy Spirit is doing because we fight and we battle from a place of defeat instead of a place of victory. But you're right. There's no doubt God is moving. When you look not only overseas, but even here in America, what God is doing. And you said something about the small groups. I highly urge everyone listening to find a small group somewhere and get involved. You know, that's how the first century church met, in small homes. And they you can really, as you said, you learn one another. You can be open. You can be transparent. And you can find, many times you'll find healing. I mean physical and spiritual healing, emotional healing, so much quicker when you can open up and just share with one another. And so small groups are something we do here at our home, and we have so many different denominations that come. It's just freedom there.
It
to
really
be yourself.
Is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say people that don't understand small groups and or maybe they got involved with a small group that was, sometimes it's just, for lack of a better word, someone can be boring because they're not letting the Holy Spirit lead. They're still trying to have another, and there's nothing wrong with Bible studies. That's great. But you really got to look sometimes, and I learned quickly from doing them ourselves in our home, to lay down the agenda and let the Holy Spirit lead and to let the Holy Spirit guide. And nothing wrong with having a program or structure, but it has to come secondary to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And
mm-hmm.
you'll find such freedom and such just healing take place when you do that.
I think it would make an interesting play, Wayne and Teresa, if somebody wrote a play and Jesus did his outreach like we do ours with programs. Because what I can see is Jesus just walking down the street meeting real needs that were right in front of him, and that's what we need to do. You know, when we're commissioned to go and make disciples, That's what you were talking about earlier, when you are able to teach someone how to be free from a real challenge in their life, real sin, real bondage, or real healing. And that's what Jesus did. And I believe that chemical dependency, for instance, substance abuse, is often, in many areas, the number one mental health problem. They call it mental health instead of sin. But if it's the number one problem, how many churches have people that are trained and equipped? And we don't mean to pick on the church. We're talking about the body of Christ, whether you're in a small group or, you know, a formal church or whatever. But how many of the body of Christ are equipped and have taken the time to learn or study and find out, be mentored, and find out how to minister to people with addictions of all kinds? Because I guarantee you, listeners, that anytime you've got a group of, say, 20 people together, that probably two or three of them have had serious problems with addictions, if not more. And I want to include in that addiction to prescription drugs, because many Christians find a way to get it prescribed, but they're just as addicted, just as numbed out, just as not in touch. And what's wrong with that? Well, for one thing, you can't have the intimacy with God because you're depending on drugs instead of the Holy Spirit, and you don't even know what you're feeling anyway. If you had intimacy with God, you wouldn't feel it. But we need to learn how to apply the word to real problems, and I think that's what I would like about your ministry, Wayne, and I know ours does, is we listen to people, we find out what the real issues are, and then we take them to Jesus and show them that Jesus really has an answer.
And I totally agree. We need disciples. We need the body of Christ to step up. And it's hard to blame the body of Christ when the body of Christ for so long has been we've relied on the pastors, the teachers, for those who believe in prophets and apostles. You know, we've relied on those people to do the work. We see so many that our job is to maybe be nice to somebody so we can invite them to church on Sunday and then hope and pray that the preacher says the right thing. It's like an Amway meeting. I mean, nothing against Amway, but it's like one of those opportunity meetings where, you know, I'll be nice to my coworker and I'll invite him to this meeting and maybe he'll show up and maybe he'll join my business. Well, when we treat Christianity the same way, we really are doing a disservice to what Christ has accomplished, and we're really doing a disservice to our neighbor. And we need to be out there being the body. We need to be the showing the love, but we also need to be bringing the solution, which is Jesus Christ. When I preach somewhere, a lot of times I'll tell them, and my seminary professor really told me I was incorrect, so I'll let you judge yourself, but I still love them. But I would tell them, I don't want to give them all the answers. I would preach, and in our seminary, I'd give my sermon, and he said, Wayne, you didn't answer all the questions. You posed questions and didn't provide the answers. I said, exactly. Because I'm going to leave here in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But I want those questions to be directed to the Holy Spirit. I want that person to have to seek even beyond when Wayne Sutton is gone. I want them to be able to seek the Holy Spirit. And that's my heart, is to bring people to an awareness. I don't have to give them all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But what I do have is Jesus Christ. And if I can lead them to Jesus Christ, I can lead them to the Holy Spirit and open up some questions, a paradigm shift, just a thought that maybe they never had before. Then they can say, okay, God, teach me. Okay, Holy Spirit, what about this? And then maybe, if nothing else, we can get them to open up the Word of God and start seeking for themselves. Which, you know, that's what I want to see people really come back to, a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And learning. There's things, if I have questions, I believe in wise counsel. I may call you, I may call another minister that deals with a certain area. But I've also got to remember who my true teacher is. And I've got to go back to the Holy Spirit and ask him. And if we can get the body to do that, not just can I get this person to go to church with me, but how can I tell this person about Christ? How can I help this person through their addiction? How can I help this person that's going through a divorce? You know, I think the people that are listening, I'm sure some that are listening right now are facing turmoil in their marriage. And maybe they you know, and they know people that are going through this. The enemy wreaks havoc where he can on a family because that's a hurt. That's a hurt that brings many, many more hurts. So we've got to learn how to love people and guide people that are going through these divorces, that are going through separation. We've got to learn how to deal with those people. And we, as you said, we've got to become disciples and make disciples. And that's where our ministry is.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I just can't help but jump in and say it because I was a member of a famous church that whose pastor's, you know, been on radio all my life almost. And you didn't even say the D word at that church. And when I wound up divorced, I had gotten down to 92 pounds. It was divorce or death one. I just had to go to another church. I just couldn't even stand the thought of being there, much less had any hope that anybody would help me through. It took me weeks to get an appointment with the pastor, and by the time I did, it was too late. It was really too late. Mm-hmm. But I think Christians need to realize when we put people in a tight, tight box and say that you cannot get a divorce, that person may commit suicide or murder, that some situations are just unbearable, and I believe God understands. But what God lets happen, he lets us get into adversity. He lets us make a bad bed sometimes, but he's always hoping and praying and working so that we will turn to him, and the Holy Spirit will be our tutor to turn us to him. Just turn us to him. But I think a lot of us didn't know, like you said earlier, that we were listening to the devil. We had no idea that we really were in agreement with the devil and not with God's truth. And I just am amazed at how many deceptions were in my life and how many things I believed in spite of the fact that I had studied the Bible since I was 11 years old. I want to say, too, that I know some people out there have questions. Please call in. This is a talk show, and we want to hear from you. The number is 917-388-4683. That's 917-388-4683. And don't be afraid to call in with your comments or questions, because that is the point of tonight's program, is we want to be able to pray for you right where you are.
Amen. And speaking of divorce, I'll also have been divorced and I'm remarried. And what I have found is I found a lot of what you found. When I went through a divorce, I was young, but I had people in the body of Christ in my denomination, which I won't mention, which is irrelevant really, but they came to me and said, "Now, Wayne, you know you cannot get remarried." It was not, "How are you doing?" It was not, "Can I pray with you?" It was none of that. It was simply, "You know you cannot get remarried," because that was the, I mean, in that teaching at that time, that was the unforgivable sin, you know. and I thought, really? I'm in my mid-20s and I can never get remarried. What kind of God is that? And I had a lot of questions there. But you know, I thank God that even as a child, when I heard this, and I mean 8, 9, 10 years old, when I heard this preached in our church, I questioned it then. I studied the Bible then. I said, I don't see what they're teaching. Mm-hmm. You can take a verse, and you can take a verse, and you can make it say anything you want to. Because I went through that also, and I didn't have that support. I didn't have that structure. I had, "We'll pray for you," but I can only think of maybe twice that someone did. But I quickly got the, "You can never get remarried." I stayed with that denomination, and later, through the call into ministry and seminary, I thought, okay, this is enough. I wanted to say this. I'm glad God is moving and changing hearts, because this is a church that used to, if I were to get remarried, they would kick me out of the church. I could not be a member of this church. And today, I'm an ordained minister in that church. So God is moving. Hearts are molding. God is, like you said, God is. We're winning the war. But sometimes even that's a process. What I could have done was got angry and totally rejected the church. But what I've done is learned that God is moving, and the leadership there is, he is everywhere. God is moving. So those who are listening, if you're And I always like to say this, because if people are contemplating a divorce, seek the Holy Spirit like you've never sought them before, because there's such pain and hurt and a lifetime of consequences. But at the same time, if you've gone through a divorce and you're reading it, let go of guilt, let go of condemnation. Don't let the enemy bring anything on you that God's not been on you. And so I just wanted to share that also, because I know that's still today a taboo in many religious circles, is divorce and remarriage.
And could it be because the very people that are judging other people don't have answers, so all they know is to tell them you can't? But I would encourage anyone that's in a difficult marriage or difficulties of any kind, whether it's business or personal or whatever, please call us, because God sent Jesus Christ, came as man, died on the cross, rose again, to prove to you that he really can give you freedom from the cycles in your life. Now, we can't guarantee that the other person will change, but we can guarantee you that if you will bring these things to Jesus and bring them to the cross, that we can help you. We see lives change tremendously all the time. We can help you become the person that God designed you to be, whether the other person ever changes or not.
How would you say,
Wayne, that most people who are churchgoers, who know Jesus Christ, who are against sin, find themselves all wrapped up in sin or just suffocating from it?
Well, I think they find themselves in sin, suffocating from sin. I think one of the biggest reasons, what we talked about earlier, is they don't know there's hope. They don't know there's hope within the church bodies. They have hidden sin. And what really is bad about hidden sin is you can take something small, or relatively small, if that's a word to use for sin, but it progresses. When it's hidden, when it can't get out in the open, when there can't be any healing for it because they're scared of condemnation, they're scared of someone judging them, well, they don't even know there's people. You know, this is amazing to me. What I found is that very few Christians realize there's deliverance ministries. They think the deliverance minister should be the whacked out, head spinning, vomiting, demonized person. They don't realize that most deliverance ministry is for everyday Christians.
Amen.
You know, they don't realize that because of Hollywood and misconceptions. So I think they take a sin. I know someone now I'm thinking about that, who dealt with sexual sin, and he dealt with it. Even though born again, he never got through this deliverance that he needed. And when it truly manifests, when it truly came out, not only did he hurt himself and others, but now he's got years and years and years and years in prison to think about what he's done.
Mm.
But has he been delivered still, even today? And this is little sins that they find themselves wrapped up in. And I think, you know, we think of sin, a lot of people want to label it real quick, what they think is the worst sin. Maybe it's drug abuse, maybe it's this. But how about the small things they never see themselves? How about the gossip and the slander?
Hmm.
And, as you said, judging and not taking things to Christ. That's how to get wrapped up in it. They hold on to it, I believe. Even they hold on to something because it gives them safety, almost like a security blanket. I know so many people, we deal with so many people that hold on to anger and quick tempers as a security blanket, as their a false sense of security. And what happens is, as you very well know, is when you allow one sin to lay hold in your life and really grab a hold, I believe the enemy uses that foundation to bring in other tormenting demons, to bring in other sin, to bring in a hierarchy that really just causes havoc. The enemy's more patient than we are, unfortunately. You know, we want instant change, instant miracles. The enemy is very, very content with taking 10 years to destroy your life, or 30 years if need be. And without knowing, he's doing it because we don't seek out deliverance. We don't seek out a day. We don't realize every day this is a battle.
Mm.
And I'm fighting from a place of victory, but it's a battle every single day.
Mm.
So I think that's how to get wrapped up in sin. And It's really sad, but sometimes the small groups, we talk about them, and I highly recommend small groups. So make sure the small group is not another festering pool of sin where it's easy to gossip about or bring up slander or to justify your actions with other believers. It's got to be a believers encouraging one another and lifting one another up out of that muck of sin and hurtful.
That's right.
Thinking.
Wayne, what would you say to someone that's listening that feels like a hypocrite? Because if you were to ask their friends and family, they know that they would not say they're known for their love. You know, the Bible says they will know us by our love. That they would, you know, the friends and family would not say, I want to be the Christian that they are. What would you say to them, the people that just really feel like they're being called hypocrites, and sometimes they feel like they are?
Well, I really could spend some time on this. I'll try to be brief, because when it comes to hypocrites, here's what's so amazing about it. You either are a hypocrite or you're not, or you're very, very close to either way. It's a very thin line. We know what a hypocrite is, but I think a lot of people feel they're a hypocrite. I'm going to look at it from two angles. But a lot of people feel they're a hypocrite because they don't live up to the standard that maybe a church or another believer has placed on them. Maybe they're truly born again. Maybe they're truly seeking the face of God. But maybe they're not living up to the standard of another religious organization, denomination, or even a brother or sister in Christ. And they feel like a hypocrite, but they're not. Maybe they bought into a lie of legalism and lie of something that, you know, whenever, you know, we'll go back to divorce. Maybe somebody's been divorced, and maybe they're starting to date again, or maybe they're starting to have feelings towards someone else, and they love God. They're truly born again, but maybe they feel like a hypocrite because of what society or what the church or what someone has taught them or showed them. You know, a lot of times what people show us means a lot more than what they tell us. And then there's people, as you said, that are true hypocrites. They're self-seeking, they're self-serving. They're not living up to what the Holy Spirit is speaking in their life. But what you said about love, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, I'm going to throw something out there. Those who have not seen the movie yet, Furious Love, it just came out. I highly recommend every pastor needs to watch this DVD. And if you're looking for somebody great to interview, get a hold of this DVD. But in this movie, it was Chris Vallotton from Bethel Church said, you know, we're not known. And I think it was him that said it. When somebody says a Christian, do they know us by our unimaginable love? When somebody says they're a Christian, what do you know about them? Do they think, oh, well, they just go to church on Sunday, or they give 10% of their income, or they do this or they do that, you know? Or do they think, well, they judge people? You know, it's really sad when you hear a lot of Christians today, and the perception is they're judgmental. They want to run the government. They want to run society. They want to, you know, they want to burn every abortion clinic down. They want to do this. They want to do that. And they got this whole list of things that a Christian is. But it's very rare when somebody says, what is a Christian? And they come back with a person that has this unimaginable love towards others.
Mm-mm-mm.
And when I saw that on that DVD, it hit me. And I'll be transparent here. It hit me, and I thought, wow. What do people think about when they hear Wayne Sutton? That he's got a book, or that he'll have a, you know, meeting this week, or he has this going on, or he has a talk show. What do they hear when they hear Wayne Sutton? And my heart is that they see Jesus Christ. They see the love. They see compassion. And for me to give that, I have to receive that. And it goes back to the intimacy with the Father. So if somebody's listening, you feel like, that's not me. I don't have that kind of love. Maybe I've been the one pointing fingers. Maybe I'm the one that's put myself on a pedestal as self-righteousness. again, this call is not to bring guilt and condemnation. It's just sometimes to open up our eye and let us see, I need to get back into intimacy with the Father. I need to get that love. I need to know who Jesus Christ is, truly know who he is, so I can give that love to others. And that is my journey. That's my that's the path I'm taking. And let me recommend something. If you're looking for that, number one place to start is with the Holy Spirit. And then the other thing is to find a spiritual mother and a spiritual father that exemplifies that, somebody that's living that out, and just really seek them and seek wisdom from them. Another brother or sister in Christ that is truly changing lives because of their love, not because of their size of their ministry or their financial status, but are changing people because of their love. When you think of Mother Teresa, you think of Heidi and Roland Baker, you think of so many people that just have an just outpouring of love, and that is where the miracles of God take place. There's so many people, well, I don't know if you've seen the DVD or not, but they have a lot of people in there that are going through deliverance. And it's just amazing when you see how that love just destroys the work of the enemy, which I know you know that. But, if we're gonna have, if you feel like you're a hypocrite, then because you're not walking in that love, then realize this second is this second is when you start changing. When you say, Holy Spirit, change me. Holy Spirit, lead me. I repent of that, and I want to walk towards. I want to walk in total love. That's my heart's desire.
Would you like to go ahead and share with them, Wayne, how they can get in contact with you and get prayer?
Sure, and we have a website, thesecondadam.com, and Jesus Christ is referred to many times as the second Adam because the first Adam brought death and destruction. The second Adam brought, restoration and salvation. But you can go to thesecondadam.com, and on there you can sign up for our free newsletter. We just do a weekly newsletter and with prophetic articles and so forth. We also have a place on there if you need prayer, and that goes to our staff, and we spend time on those. Some of them we personally, if you'll put your phone number, if the Holy Spirit leads, some of them we personally follow up with. Everyone we pray over and just let the Holy Spirit lead us how to go to the next level. And that is just, on there, also on our website, we have different articles, different resources, and how you can get in touch with us if you want us to kind of minister, at your church or conference or so forth.
Would you like to share an email or a phone number, and then we'll share our contact information too?
Sure. The best way of contacting us through email, we have a number of different emails, as everyone I think today does. But the best email is, or the easiest to get in touch with us, is Locate Wayne. That's LocateWayne at gmail.com. And our phone number is 866-869-9090. 866-869-9090.
Very good, very good. We want to give you plenty of ways to get in touch with us. Tracy, you want to share?
Well, if our listeners would like to know more about our ministry here at Crosswalk Life, they can go to our website. And there are well over 300 free articles and broadcasts they can download. There's resources, DVDs, CDs, and the NowFaith.tv, where they can become part of the ministry training school. And also, if they need to have a little insight into how to operate iTunes and get your broadcast downloaded to their iPod, you have some new information there too.
And for those of you that were thinking, well, my marriage could use some help, or I have an addiction, or I'm not doing so well with the church body and my relationship, I'd encourage you to just go to the search box on our website at www.cwl.com www.inc.com and type in what you're searching for and see if there's not already an article there. But if not, please contact us or contact us either way, because we're all about personal relationships. And speaking of that, I believe that a lot of people have been claiming to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet they've never heard his voice. They don't seem to see him or sense him or feel him or anything. And I'm so glad that you're emphasizing intimacy with Christ, because that's really where it's at. It's really where it's at. And Wayne, why don't you say more about how people find permanent change or freedom in their life that lasts?
Well, again, it goes back to the intimacy with Christ. And when I'll just share this with you. I'm not a history buff by any means, but when you look through the history of the church and you see different movements, you see different outpourings, you see different times of revival. When you look at the different denominations, there's such a drastic difference in, I'll just give you, if you go back to study a Methodist church today versus a Methodist church of 100 years ago, or some of the Baptist churches today, or Baptist churches, you know, hundreds of years ago. Pentecostal church today, try to find one hundreds of years ago. You know, it's just so funny that people, the different eras of life, it's real easy to grab a hold of. I'm a Methodist and this is how I believe. Or I'm a Pentecostal and this is how I believe. Or I'm Lutheran and this is why we believe this. But we have to understand that we all serve the same Jesus. The same Holy Spirit guides us all. So I'm really, my point is, when you get the intimacy and he starts teaching you, when he starts leading you, then it brings on that permanent change, because it's from the Holy Spirit. When I was writing the book, and we did about 10 chapters and it just flowed. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just pouring out. We wrote the book. But about chapter 10, I hit a writer's block, if you will, and nothing else came out. I just couldn't. I said, how am I going to finish the book? And I was praying about it and just seeking God's face. And I was laying there in bed one morning, and I said, Lord, I need to know what to do. Do I finish the book? I started to scrap the whole project. And I heard repent, release, receive, remind, and rest.
Mm.
And I literally hopped out of bed and was looking, you know, looking at pen and paper. I'm trying to find, you know, trying to find my journal, trying to find anything to write on. Because the God gave me the,
funny.
You know, you know, they say keep a journal beside your bed. Well, sometimes that's a receipt or a piece of, you know, whatever is there, we just grab it. But
you're being real.
Yeah, I'm being real. But I said, God, what is that? And I wrote them down, and I really started studying, and I really started seeking God. But the first and foremost, I call them the five R's for transformation. But the first is repent. And you truly, you know, repentance is truly turning from the dark side, you know, and turning to good. It's turning from evil. It's turning to God. It's turning from your own kingdom, your own rules, your own desires even, and turning towards God's kingdom. And we talk about that in the book, how to repent. What repentance truly is, I think too many times people have mistaken it with just, hey, God, I messed up and I'm sorry. Oh, I've repented and, you know, okay, I'm in heaven. But it's so much more. Repentance, true repentance, goes so much deeper. And it's so much, it's freedom when you can repent from what the enemy had. And I think repentance is, yes, I believe there's a salvation experience, but I believe repentance is a process also. What I mean by that is, as you know, in the deliverance ministry, there'll be things in our life that we may not see needs to be changed. But then one day the Holy Spirit shines a little, you know, almost like a beam of light on it. And you realize, ah, this is not of God. And then that has to be repented. It has to be turned away from. That has to be healed. So the first is repent, and the second is R is release. You know, the old adage, you know, the cliche, let go and let God, is so true. Because I think so many times we release something to God, maybe in word, and maybe even in deed, only long enough to pray. And then we're grabbing back a hold of it, and we're trying to fix the situation. We don't waiting for the Holy Spirit to lead us or guide us to the next right step. But we turn it over to God, trust in word, just long enough to get through this prayer or petition, and then we're right back grabbing it. We're trying to fix the situation. And I see that a lot in the church, and you probably see it with the counseling and with the deliverance you do. Probably even more is just, you know, are we truly releasing things to God? Are we truly turning it over to the Holy Spirit? And that is a big stronghold in the body today.
I believe that many Christians just put up with downward spirals in their life because they don't want to turn anywhere besides Christianity, but they haven't found the part of Christianity that works, so they just put up with these patterns in their life until they can't. And the pattern becomes so bad that they have to look in new places for help. But there, so many people are just putting up with the patterns they've got. In fact, we have a question right now. I know you need to give us the other R's. Would you like to take the question?
Sure, sure.
Okay. Who do we have here, Teresa?
This is Kay on the line.
Welcome to the program, Kay.
Hi. Well, I was interested in hearing the rest of the R's, but okay, I'll give you my question. Probably sidetrack you a bit here. I just want to know how you personally established intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And, like, I have three questions, actually. What was the biggest shift or help that you feel like the Holy Spirit gave you when you were crying out to Him? And what help and shift do you see in others that you're working with, ministering to?
Okay, I'll,
you can
I'll
remember
try to
all that.
Yeah, I'll start with the first one. You may have to come back and ask the other ones again. I'm still establishing the intimacy. I think I'm still, that is my daily prayer. And even more, the closer I feel I'm drawing, the more I pray this. For so long, Kay, I wanted to know the right answers. There's nothing wrong with that. But when I started preaching, I bought every book on preaching. I bought if there was a course on how to preach, how to give a good public speech, how to do whatever, I bought it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You can learn a lot from seeking wisdom. But I went for it 100%. When I started studying the Word, I wanted to get to the best teachers, and I wanted to learn how they did it. And I did all of this, and when I wanted to really start seeing more miracles, we went to Randy Clark, highly recommended. And I said, Randy, you're getting these miracles. How? And we studied, and we went through his impartation classes, and we just started doing whatever it took. And we started seeing people get healed. We started seeing the power of God in our meetings. When I wanted to go learn about deliverance, I went and said, I need to go through deliverance myself, and I want to study. But what I really learned, Kay, is I can do all of that. I can walk in the miracles. I can walk in power, and I can still not have the intimacy with the Holy Spirit of a full intimacy. And I want the intimacy more than I want anything. And so, how do I do it? I make that my daily prayer when I wake up in the morning. I think it was Benny Hinn said he used to wake up every morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And I've remembered that from that book. But I just tell them good morning. When I go to bed at night, I just welcome them. Lord, I thank you that I had a great day, but I really thank you that it's really fixing to get exciting because I know you're going to speak to me in dreams and visions, and he doesn't every night, but more and more than when I expect it. And I know you're going to speak to me, God, and sometimes it's correction. It's not always a prophetic word for somebody. It's not always a glimpse of the glory realm. Sometimes it's a correction. Sometimes it's a rebuke. Even in love, but sometimes God will teach you in your dreams. So how do I do it, Kay? I make it a daily lifestyle. When I decided to marry my wife, and I had to pursue her. And now that we're married, I still pursue her. I still want her to know I love her. I still want her to know, you know, and so it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. I just want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to really, really get into that relationship. And sometimes it's finding a song that I can worship and I can soak. And sometimes it's reading a book. Sometimes it's just cutting off everything and just sitting there. And I meditate sometimes. Maybe I'll meditate on, I'll just share this with you, if I'm going through a struggle. I meditate on 2 Corinthians 3:18, and I'll say, Lord, I know that this is a process, and I'm going from glory to glory, and I thank you for that. For what I'm facing today, I will not have to face tomorrow. And if I face it tomorrow, I'll face it a different man, because I'm being changed into your image by the very Spirit of God. So that's what I do, Kay, is I just find something, a verse I can meditate on. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. What a promise. You know, what a reality. And, you know, that's one of the R's. It's remind yourself. It's remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, I'm righteous in his eyes. And, you know, Ephesians 1:3, I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Well, I really don't need to go petition for any more blessings. I just need to receive what he's already given me.
Amen.
I think that hopefully that answers your first of the three questions, but I'm not sure what the other two were at this point.
Well, I think that was pretty much maybe even answering all three.
Okay.
I was just saying what you felt like the biggest help was for you, and that was just really your revelation that intimacy was possible, the hope that he gave you. That it didn't have to be church as usual, and that there was really help, and you could be open and honest, I suppose. Would you say that's the biggest help? You know, when you started saying, how can I change, Lord? What revelation he gave you to help you get down the road, as it were?
Yeah. Well, here's when I think about intimacy, there's different ways of finding intimacy also. When I was dating my wife, we lived 3 hours apart, 3.5 hours. I had to build the relationship over the phone a lot of times. It had to be, whether it was a text message or a phone call, there was verbal communication. There was no eye-to-eye contact. There was nothing like that a lot of the times. As a married couple, sometimes it may be by the phone, it may be intimacy, it may be, whatever it is, there's different ways of building intimacy with a person. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it may be in his word. Maybe it's really grabbing a hold and letting him speak through the word. Sometimes it's in song. Sometimes it's in soaking. And I don't think there's a right or wrong way. Everybody has their preference. But I tell you this, if you have a way that anybody listening, if you have a way that you really like to worship God and become intimate with him, great. But get outside of that box sometimes and try something different. And that may be just sitting there in quietness and say, Lord, I'm seated with you in heavenly places. So I'm expecting to hear from you right now in the throne. And listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you. Listen to what he shares with you. But my thing here is it's not a one-time thing. It's a daily process. You know, people say we won't know all the truth until we get to the other side. I agree, and I don't know if we'll know it all then instantly. I believe there's going to be a process there. That's just a personal thought, not truth. But I just know there's always a process here on earth to grow closer to the Holy Spirit, to grow closer to God. And when you grow closer, you develop love. And when you develop love, you see people's lives change, first yours and then others. And there's people who have met Jesus Christ face to face. That's great. That's wonderful. There's people that's heard. I've heard his audible voice. But you know what? People have seen him, heard him, and still sometimes don't know him. And that's sad. You've got to get the intimacy first and foremost. Noah's very, very being. And that only comes from, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as you behold him. That's what the word tells us, as we behold him. And that's what really changed me. You know, everybody has their favorite verses, but 2 Corinthians 3:18 changed my life because it made me realize, and I would like to read it real quick if I can, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and this is the part I like, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When I read that, I realized if I want to walk as Jesus Christ walked, and I want to walk not only in the miracles and the purpose and destiny, but walk in that love and really realize at the end, when I sit before my Creator, He can say, well done, then I need to be changed into the image of Christ. And if that sounds hokey-pokey to you, then go back to the Word, because it says here, oh, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So it's a process, not a crisis. And at the beginning of that verse, it says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. You got to behold. You got to look at and just worship that glory. You got to realize He is a glorious God, and as you do that, He'll change you, and it won't be instantaneous. It'll be a process, but it's a process that is awesome. It's fun. It's glorious, you know. So I hope that answered your question, Kay.
It does. Thank you so much. And I'm really enjoying your program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. And I want to encourage other people to call. We try to get everyone to call by about 10:30 if they can, so that we have time to answer you or pray for you. And the number is 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. That was wonderful, Wayne. What would you say about people that are just feeling like they're full of guilt and self-condemnation and, you know, they just can't wait to hear the rest of the R's? What would you say to give them hope?
Well, I would go back to, I would jump right back into the five R's. You know, first is repent, and two is release. And I believe release is one that we talk about it in the book about the importance of it, because sometimes we think we've released something over to God and we really haven't. And then sometimes when you release something to God, He'll give you something to do in return. And, you know, and I know from deliver, maybe it's somebody you've got to heal. Maybe it's somebody you've got to make restitution with. But you've got to be able to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as He's leading. But also being a receiver of God's glory. You know, Ephesians 1:3 says we've received all spiritual blessings. We've already had them. But it's how do we receive it? How do we bring it in? You know, people that are listening to this this show, this broadcast, is because they're tuned in. There's millions and it's billions that could be listening tonight, and we'll just go ahead and prophesy that more and more will. But,
yeah.
but they're not listening because why? Is it because it's not available? Absolutely not. It's available to all. It's because they've not tuned in yet. And so it's the same thing with God. I believe He has so much for us, but we don't have to receive that. And it goes back to receive what God has for you. And one of the best ways to receive something is just to start thanking God for it, just being praised for it and thanking Him that it's already taken place. I think sometimes I've heard people say we've prayed for healing and they didn't receive a miracle, so they didn't think that healing started. But I believe every time you proclaim the kingdom of God and you release His goodness, I believe the kingdom of God is working in someone's life. They just need to learn how to receive that. And sometimes it'll be an instant, sometimes it'll be long term. It may be 20 years before they're fully manifest and fully healed of something. But learning how to receive, and you know, the fourth R is remind. You've got to remind yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, we are a child of God. I tell people, you know, a lot of that are going through divorce or contemplating divorce, and they're angry with the other person. You need to remind yourself that you're dealing with a child of God. I tell men, if you're upset with your wife, you're mistreating your wife, or you're thinking about it, that's a daughter of the living God that you're dealing with there. And with women, that you're dealing with a child, a son of the living God. So you remind yourself of that, but remind yourself of who you are in Christ Jesus. You have been justified. Justified, never sinned. You have been made holy and righteous. And reminding themselves of that. Because too many times we remind ourselves that, well, I went through a divorce. Or I thought something today I shouldn't have. Or maybe I got angry when I shouldn't have. And we remind ourselves of that old man, of that nature. We remind ourselves of the sin that maybe we have committed or we even committed today. And we remind ourselves of that instead of reminding ourselves God is able. God has provided a way. God will deliver. That's what we've got to remind ourselves of.
Amen.
And I know there's a lot deeper than that when you go into deliverance, but again, I just want to get people to realize there is hope. There's a possibility of change, and it's already available, just how to grab a hold of it.
Amen. You know, our crosswalk prayer is about that, Wayne, where we show someone a prayer. It's almost a page long, but it has a blank in it where you can put that besetting sin or that bondage or that pattern or that oppression in the blank, and you can say, God, you know, I just haven't made very much progress with this. I can't seem to quit doing this, or it keeps happening to me, or what's this about? And you can take patterns to Jesus to bring it to death on the cross. And I believe that I went to church all my life, and I very seldom heard anybody explain how you do it. They'd say, oh, you know, crucify the flesh. But I had no idea how to really do it, and it was obvious that mine wasn't crucified. But people would still say, well, just crucify the flesh, die to it. But I didn't know how. And so I'm glad you're just going through this step by step.
Well, I think there's a lot of things in church we're told that we don't know how, because they don't know how to tell us. You know, we got to realize our deficiency before you can realize how to fix it.
Hmm.
I recommend people. I truly, just the time we've spent, and just commend you on what you're doing in your ministry, because you're as you said, integration, hitting it from every area. Too many people. We've got to learn how to grab outside of the four walls we're in. I don't just mean the four walls of a church. I mean our own thinking, our own lifestyle, our own view of religion. God showed me in a dream one time. He showed me this box, and the box was open. It was like 8 or 9 people looking inside, and there was nothing in the box, and everybody was looking, and then I heard the audible voice of God said, I love when my children take me out of the box.
All right.
And it was such an eye-opener, and I thought, wow, I've got this revelation on this now. Until the other day, he showed me again. I was putting them right back. I didn't remove the box. I just put them in a bigger box, and sometimes that's how we do it. But see, God is patient and loving and kind. He'll keep showing us. And you're right. Sometimes we've got to fish in other streams. You know, if you're listening to this and you're a minister and you're thinking, do I need to have deliverance? The answer is yes. Go through deliverance. You've gone through deliverance once. Go through it again. If you're listening to this and you go, I want to learn how to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit, then find someone that has that intimate relationship and ask them. Seek out wisdom. You know, the Bible tells us to seek wisdom. If you want to walk in healing and see people healed when you pray for them, then seek out the ministries that are having an effect in that area. You know, the same with salvation, evangelism. You know, seek out who the Holy Spirit is using and why they're being used that way. Because a lot of times it's mindsets that we have to change. It's a simple mindset that we have to break. And I'm giving a lot of information here, which because I want to jump into the last one, and that's rest. You know, I think we can really get hung up sometimes in trying to do it all, and when trying to be everything, and there's a time and place for growth, and there's a time and place for striving, but there's also a time of rest, you know. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges in the church today, especially in ministry, is learning how to rest and believe that God's got it handled. You know, come to me and I will give you rest. You know, that's mm-hmm. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we think we have to have all the answers. We have to have it right now. And I know in deliverance and what your ministry does, I know that when you go through deliverance, you can. One of the ways of seeing that you have been delivered of something is you have a rest, you have a peace within your heart.
Amen. And I want to speak to some that are listening that feel like that they are the most unlikely, the most hopeless, that there is no way that God would even want to turn their life around radically, much less could. And I want to tell you that I was the most unlikely. Definitely. When I say that I was the woman at the well, I'm not just kidding. And people have even said, well, you shouldn't say that because they'll get ideas. And I said, well, I was probably worse than their ideas. God is willing and ready to restore anyone. In fact, if there's a listener who would like to call in and just give a brief testimony, now I don't mean start preaching, if you'd like to call in and give a brief testimony about how God turned your life around, maybe there's someone that needs to hear. You know, I know that God changed Carlotta and he changed Teresa and he changed Wayne, but could he possibly change me? And I want you to know that that's why Jesus came, was to make it real to us. God came in the flesh. So please call in and share your testimony. And we've got just a, let's see, did we get the last R, Wayne?
We got it. And that's learning how to rest in the,
how
in
to
the
rest.
Finished work of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, what would you say to those who are really against sin, but they find themselves just totally in bondage?
I would tell them, first of all, there is hope. Many times we put our, I think one of the chapters I cover in our book is about resisting, and it is in the Word of God, resist the devil and he will flee. But sometimes we get so bound up in trying to resist, maybe it's a temptation, maybe it is a sin, maybe it's just a habitual lifestyle. We try to resist these temptations and things. We find ourselves wrapped up in them, like shackled. But we try to change of our own doing instead of going to the Holy Spirit. And that's when we become frustrated. That's when our flesh, we're trying to do something in the flesh that's really a spiritual matter. You know, trying to lay down a an addiction that has been being really driven by a demonic spirit. You're trying in the flesh what's taking place in the spirit. Trying to lay down anger that's been passed from generation to generation to generation. And trying to just hold that anger in. And really what you're doing is causing high blood pressure and other issues instead of going to the source. And so what I would tell people, if they find themselves wrapped up in a lifestyle they don't like, the first thing is recognizing that. And the second way is getting relief from the Holy Spirit, whether it be a deliverance ministry, such as what you're doing, just seeking the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, teach me, guide me, heal me. That's the biggest thing, is just going back to the source and saying, Lord, heal me, change me, and realizing that we do not battle against flesh. We're battling against spirits. As I said earlier, we're in a war every single day we wake up. That don't mean you have to be depressed. You're winning the war. We've won the war, but you're still fighting, and you have to fight from a place of victory.
And I'm glad you're mentioning that verse, if you want to say it again, because I think there's so many believers that don't believe that. They don't really believe that they're fighting demons. They want to shut that completely out of their thinking. And that's one reason they're losing, because the demon is happy for them to think it's all about them and their flesh and it's all their fault, and not even recognize that the demon had a part in tempting them.
That's true. And here's what's so amazing. One of the things we've been told to do is cast out demons, but it's so hard to find a church that will even teach on demons, more or less teach you how to cast one out. And we got this Hollywood fantasy, this fantasy world of what a casting a demon looks like. Sometimes there is vomit. Sometimes there is the gory stuff. But most of the time it's not, and you know this. Most of the time it's very... I don't want to say clinical, but I heard somebody mention the other day that it was almost clinical. But it's not, it's very freeing. But the problem is they don't realize we're fighting against demons every single day. When Jesus cast them out and told us to do the same, he was serious about that. He really meant to do it. It was not just a history lesson. The unfortunate Hollywood has made something of demons that the church has ignored. But we are facing those spiritual battles every day, and we've got to learn how to just come at them, not in fear. We're not scared of somebody that has a demon. a very good friend of mine, Robert Bufkin, he said that most sicknesses, that he said the reason they don't, science cannot pick up, you know, they can do MRIs, they can do all this stuff and try to find out why this tumor's here or why this problem's there. He said because they got a blind spot. Because demons don't show up on MRIs.
That's right.
Demons don't show up on X-rays. So science is scratching their head trying to figure out. He said, you know, and nothing against the medical field, that's great. He said, but why don't you take care of the demon first? And most of the time you take care of the demon, the sickness is gone. And it's the same way with mental disorders and, you know, and so forth. People, they can't, they can prescribe all the pills they want, but they cannot see the demon. It's easier to prescribe a pill than go back to the Word of God, they think. So, and again, I have so many people that say, well, I'm born again. I'm a believer. I speak in tongues. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. There's no way I have a demon. There's no way. And we're not talking about possession here. We're talking about oppression. I don't want to get deep into that. That's definitely your subject. I'm going to let you. But, you know, it's nothing just because there's a critter in your house. You know, I heard another deliverance ministry the other day tell me, he said, Wayne, if you had a critter in your house, you know, they're in Texas. I love the way they talk. He says, that don't make you a bad person. That means you let the door open. Or they found a way to sneak in. You know, they don't make you a bad person because you got something bothering you. This means you need to get it out. If anybody had a rat or termites in your home, they don't make you a bad person. This means something's there that shouldn't be there, and you need to get it out. And so it don't damage more. So it's the same way with when we talk about demons and demonic spirits. You know, it's, they do influence us every day. We just got to make sure that we get freedom from that and we let the Holy Spirit fill that void.
And I believe a lot of Christians have made it into something it's not. You know, they're trying to say you're either possessed or you're totally free, one or the other, but there's so much middle ground because most Christians will admit that the devil tempted them. Well, that's what we're talking about. Some demons hang around, and they keep tempting you and keep tempting you, and you fall for their lies. What were you going to say, Teresa?
Well, I was just going to say I think one of the first ways that that people can in the church can even have an open door for oppression is just not forgiving. The Lord was really pretty specific about don't let the sun go down on your anger and don't let the enemy get a foothold, because if we are really quick to forgive people and just really forgive from our heart, then the enemy doesn't have that open door. But if you harbor anger and resentment and bitterness over some hurt, and I'm not going to say that there wasn't a real hurt there, if you nurse those kinds of things, then that's an open door for the enemy. And there's many of us in the church that have grown up in the church, and really we're not taught the importance of repenting and as a lifestyle. And that really keeps our house clean. It doesn't let the enemy in. And I had a lot of deliverance just over repenting of sin and getting down to the roots in my life, as you well know. And just, it's not some crazy hocus-pocus thing with a lot of manifestation. Once you get down to those roots that you've already repented of several things, those demons just come right out. They can't stay.
And when we say roots, we're not blaming people that hurt us and spending hours talking about how they hurt us. Of course, we acknowledge that we need healing for the hurts. But the roots are our sinful reactions to them.
Right.
And so if a person is continually focused on their past, I say, let's go ahead and repent of your sinful reactions to them. And that's how you get free. And that did not make sense to me when it was first taught to me, because I knew I was the victim and the problem had to be what the other person is doing or did. But when I learned that my real problem isn't what they're sinning, it's my sinful reaction to them, then I could ask forgiveness five ways and get on with focusing on now and on the future and on Jesus and not focusing on what other people had done to me. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. Also forgiving ourselves, I think.
Exactly.
I know for so many times I have held on to past sins or past decisions and held on to that. And I had to learn how to forgive myself and quickly, because if you don't forgive yourself, it's real easy to get right back into despair and just opens up another door.
Amen.
And sometimes that's the hardest to forgive is ourselves. But what I love about this deliverance ministry is, again, even as you know this, when you pray, the Holy Spirit leads things to you. You know, people say he don't know his voice or they don't hear the Holy Spirit. It's just is realizing that's the voice of your Father. He's just talking to you and he shows you things. There's people that I forgot about the person, Carlotta. I didn't even think about them anymore. But then the Holy Spirit would bring them to my remembrance. And the anger and the disgust would come back in my heart. And I realized, I need to forgive. And this is another area that needs to be healed. This is another wound. So the Holy Spirit brought it up for me to go through that process. So, you know, everyone listening, this is just, I go back to intimacy, because there's such a, when you get that intimacy with God, it's hard to focus on the goodness of God and focus on sin at the same time. It's hard to focus on the victorious lifestyle and be depressed and in despair. And it's very, very hard to focus on the infilling of the Holy Spirit and just walking, you know, as I like to say, side by side, friend to friend with the Holy Spirit, and have hatred towards your fellow man. It's really, really hard to do.
I like the way you emphasize focusing on Christ. And someone actually asked me this week, they said, don't you believe that God can do sovereign works in people's lives, and as they just go forward with him, that they will be transformed without having to confess all their sin? And I said, the more you get to know Jesus in an intimate way, and as you're going forward with him, you will automatically turn against your sin. You just can't do one without the other. You may not confess a list like, you know, we help people get through more quickly by giving them a list. Say, you know, let's confess as many things as apply. But, yeah, you can do it the slow way. You can just confess things as they manifest. But the more you know Jesus Christ personally and have that intimacy relationship with him, the more you're going to hate the things that separate you or would separate you from him.
That's very true.
And don't you think that if people are experiencing a separation, that they know that there's a talk about intimacy with the Lord, and they just don't know how to get there, then perhaps there is some blockage, and perhaps there is some sin that needs to be confessed.
I do. I think a lot. You know, I heard just another minister the other day just covered that so very well. He said many times they don't realize, they don't feel what they should feel because the enemy is just tormenting them. The enemy is just wrapped up inside their head, inside their heart. The enemy is just, he's blinded them, and until they can get through, you know, what I really love is, I think one of the questions Kay asked, what was one of the breakthroughs, is when I realized that he's God and I'm not. He's really got the solutions, and I really don't, and I started able to walk in a daily faith, not just faith when something's wrong, but daily, Lord, you're God, you're working out things behind the scene. That is when I really got this faith of God in me. And that's when I really started saying, what is not of you, God? What is of you? So when I started questioning some of my strongest beliefs and things that I didn't think were sins, God started showing me this is sin. You need to repent and you need to change. And some things that I held people in bondage and my religious hammer, you know, was beating on them. God said, son, don't place them under bondage when I haven't. And so, you know, that's, you know, it is a process, but you can definitely speed up the process, like you said, by going through a deliverance and truly seeing and confessing and getting it off, getting it out there and getting those wounds healed.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Wayne, a lot of times people don't even really realize that they can hear the Lord speaking to them personally. Or, you know, when I was growing up, we just studied the Bible and we learned all the stories and we knew that Christ was real. But I would see where stories where God talked to Elijah and he did some wondrous miracles and so many people in the Word were hearing his voice. Well, that was one of the first ways that he started working in my life, was just to be able to recognize that he was talking and to listen to him.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's a process that I think everybody, well, and you know, some people hear differently. I think everybody should be, you know, a lot of men don't like to journal, but, you know, call it notebooking or whatever you want to call it, but get you a notebook, get you a journal and journal, but, you know, listen to your dreams. What is God speaking to you in the night visions and dreams? And learning how to get away and get quiet. I mean, there's just things that God has spoken to me recently in just soaking and meditating. I hear his voice and just write it down. And it might not even make sense to you at the moment, but he'll confirm his word and it will make sense to you. So.
Yes, amen. I'm so glad that you talked about the dreams and visions, because that's just been very key in getting a lot of healing in my life. And I know a lot of other people that are listening, too, that now we have some good resources for Christian dream interpretation. And mm-hmm. It's not just hocus pocus. God really is talking to us, and he does have some principles for us to follow. And we can know what he's telling us. And like you alluded to earlier, sometimes he'll be telling us about problems in our life. And that's what he did with me. He showed me some areas that I needed help in getting free of strongholds. And when I was talking earlier about people, you know, may not know about intimacy and how to get to the intimacy with Christ, I was talking about myself, because I heard about people talking about Jesus said this to me, or, and you know, and they were experiencing real intimacy. And when I hear people talking, giving their testimony, and some of these awesome folks that we have developed relationships with, it just encourages, I think it just encourages the whole body of believers that there is real intimacy with the Lord.
Amen. And I want to throw in, when you said strongholds, that our most popular course, it's a whole Bible course, is how to tear down your own strongholds. Of course, not in your own strength, but how to cooperate with the Word and with Jesus, Holy Spirit. And we've got in there questions that you can ask yourself, because to me, there's just two groups of people in the world. There's the people, whether they're saved or unsaved, there's the people that know they have strongholds and want help, and then there's the people that are in denial, that are pretending they're okay already. And in this, you know, like, you, I didn't think I had bitterness. I thought I had dealt with it all. But if you ask yourself, can I look around 360 degrees and not have any unresolved conflicts, you know, on my end? Of course, you can't control what other people are feeling. But do I still have a problem with, you know, certain people and can't love them? You know, am I jealous? Am I comparing myself and how God loves other people? Does he love them better than me? Or am I still, you know, focused on the fact that somebody doesn't love me right? Or can I enter into God's rest and be free from that? Or, you know, am I fearful? Then you're beginning to see that, or maybe it's the biggie for me, it was rejection. Am I constantly in a rejection cycle? It seems like I'm always feeling rejected by somebody. Well, it could be that they're always rejecting you. It can also be that you're receiving that rejection when you don't have to. So I just want to encourage people to make, like he said, make use of the resources. Call Wayne or call us. Don't be satisfied with the status quo, and to stay in the strongholds that you're in, but I will warn you that you reap what you sow. So we're going to have to look at what you've been sowing, not just what people did to you.
That's true. That's true.
What else do you want to say about your book or obtaining it before we go?
Well, if they would like to pick up a copy, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble. If you want to get it directly from my ministry, you can go to hellchange.com, HellChange.com. And, if people want to order from us, order from Amazon, whatever, how you get it, just get it, read it, give us some feedback. What I'm finding is people that are reading it are saying, Wayne, this is a very easy-to-read book, and I didn't realize I had some issues. And it's really an opening up so they can realize this is how I can be changed. This is where I'm, you know, this one of these five R's is going to hit you somewhere, and you're going to go, wow, this is what I needed. And we've really, I wrote the book for those who love fiction stories. I'm not a big fiction writer or reader myself. But I wrote it with two fictional characters named Snyder and named Jenny. And through their story, we bring in the problems that people are facing when they're trying to find change and transformation. And then through that, I bring in real-life examples. I bring in teaching from the Word of God. But we also do it through a story format. And so if you've got somebody, and the reason I did that is there's a lot of people outside of the church that love to read, but they're not going to sit down and read a Christian how-to book. They're not going to read a nonfiction Christian book. But they may read this story because it's got a man and woman in it. And when my wife, she was reading the first draft of it, she said, are they going to get together? Are they going to get together? And she was getting into the love romance part of it. But I tried to write it where the unchurched would read it as well. And so it's easy to read. I tell people, if you know somebody that's struggling with not just an addiction, they're struggling with God. You know, that question, why do I need God? I'm a good person. If you got that kind of person, get the book in their hand, let them read it, and let them see that it's not just so they can make heaven their home, but there's such other promises that come with that relationship with God. So hellchange.com, or they can go through the secondadam.com and order it as well.
Amen. I want to impart to people tonight Now Faith. You know, we named our ministry training school online Now Faith, and there's a reason for that, because you can have hope and you can have faith, but real faith believes that God is going to answer right away, not just next year or
Amen.
After we get to heaven. We called it Now Faith because, you know, sometimes God says wait because he's got other people's concerns in mind. You know, maybe there are some other factors, or, you know, maybe you're asking for $1 million and he knows you don't have any idea how to handle it. But when you need something, like you need freedom from a stronghold or healing, or when you have real necessities, we don't see in the Bible that Jesus said later or next year. In fact, he did say no a couple of times, but he seemed to really like it when the person wouldn't take no for an answer. Say, God, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. He loved it. And so I want to encourage you not to see God as a time creature, because he's not one, and believe for Now Faith. If you need freedom from fear or rejection or witchcraft or religious spirits or whatever it is, bitterness, unforgiveness, if you're always in conflicts and if people just aren't seeing love in you, then come to God and say, God, show me what's blocking it. What is it that I've been a believer this long or going to church or whatever you've been doing and you still aren't an expression of God's love? And I know we're all in process. My husband could tell you where I'm in process too. That's why we get married, isn't it? So we got someone that can tell us. But I want to impart to you Now Faith. That Now Faith is more than just hope. It's more than just believing, well, when we're raptured, we'll all be better. That say, God, show me how to believe you for freedom now and who to call and get connected. Be proactive and call someone and say, you know, I can't see my own blind spots. I need help. And would you pray for our listeners, Wayne, just at your leisure, pray as long as you want. Just pray for them that they'll hear God's voice in a new way, like you said. One more thing. When you mentioned about the men, I want to encourage men that you might be better at this than you think, because men are able to organize dating. They're able to think of different things to do on dates. And you might think, why are you talking about this? When you talk about intimacy with God, many people get, all of a sudden, they get real task-oriented. And they think of it as reading a certain devotion for this many minutes and praying a certain list for this many minutes. But it's more like a man dating a woman. When I want to spend intimate time with God, I ask him what he wants to do.
Wow.
And it might be worship. It might be read. Every once in a while, it's listening to somebody else. But I think mostly he wants me to listen to him and get it firsthand. And sometimes we go for a walk, and sometimes I lay on my back and just meditate on being in the heavenlies with him. But, men, I think you can do this better than you think. If you just think of it as a date and you think, well, that might be hard because Jesus is a man. Well, you know what I'm saying. Just
That's
ask
true.
Him what he wants to do and plan to spend quality time with him. And so you don't have to be able to sing or dance or be a theologian or be the best prayer in the world. You just have to want to get to know him and spend time with him. But, Wayne, if you could just pray for him, that
sure.
they would know what to do next.
And, you know, also, just real quickly before we pray, We're the bride. He's the bridegroom. He's pursuing you now. He's pursuing you. We just gotta find that connection with him and say, Lord, here I am. We gotta pursue him the way he's pursuing us.
Good.
And if that's even possible, I promise you he's pursuing us more than we could ever pursue him. But yeah, I would like to pray. And what you said about the now, the now faith, because he is I am.
Amen.
I am, he said. And I'm just going to, wow, that's another whole, I'd love to do another show on that. But Father God, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just thank you for all the listeners. Lord, we just thank you that in your heart, in your thoughts, Father God, we're in them. You, Father God, are always pursuing us. And Lord, in our blind spots, when we don't see, when we're in rebellion or we're running or we're caught up with the kingdoms of this world instead of your kingdom, Lord, we just thank you that you're still there. You're still holding on. You're still faithful, Father God, even when we're unfaithful. And Lord, I pray for every listener, Father God, that Lord, as you just let them see, you let every one of them see, Father God, that you're pursuing them, that you want intimacy with them. And Lord, I ask you, Father, Lord, as I pray daily, Lord, myself, I'm praying for them as well. Lord, that we lay aside all of our prejudices and all of our pride and all of our arrogance and all of our and everything that we've done, even our religious duties that we've done to try to earn a place with you. And Lord, that you just show us, you just reveal your heart to us, Lord. We want to see you face to face. We want to have intimacy with you. Because, Lord, I know when that starts taking place in the listeners, Father God, that they'll start finding that transformation. They'll start finding that change, Lord. And Lord, as the world is crying out, how can I change? How can I be transformed into from evil to good or from bad to prosperous, Lord, I know that you're there and you're working and that you're taking us from glory to glory, Lord. And some people, that glory to glory is going to be slower than others. Some is going to be rapid. So, Lord, I just pray, Father God, that every listener, Lord, you open up. I impart right now, Father, Lord, the Father's heart to them, God. Let them see, Father God, that you're just a God of love. You want that relationship with them. You want us to be transformed from the inside out, Father, Lord. And, Lord, we just come against the spirits of confusion, the spirits of religion, the spirits that are holding people in bondage, the spirits of pride and jealousy and greed, Lord. We just come against those spirits, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just ask for a release, Father God, of your heart and a release, Father God, just that release of knowing you. You know, Paul said that we'd have this revelation of you. Lord, I love how the Apostle Paul prayed. He wrote his letters and his epistles. He even said, I will have visitations and revelations from the Lord. He was so confident in it, Father God. And Lord, so I speak that same confidence over to the people that are listening. Yeah. Visit them in their dreams, Father God, yeah, and let them see your goodness. Let them see your face, Lord. We want that face-to-face intimacy, yeah, Father God. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, I'm not asking anything that you haven't done. You're not a respectable person, but you've shown yourself to others, Father God, face-to-face. And you let them see your heart. You've spoke with them. You've talked with them, Father God. If there's anyone listening and they don't know how to discern your voice, Father Lord, I'm asking you to drown out the other voices. Let them learn to hear from you, Father God. Teach them how to hear from you, Father God. Holy Spirit, just have your way with everyone listening. And I just speak, Father God, just an acceleration, Father God, of the glory realm over their life. Lord, if there's anyone that needs physical healing, Father Lord, I ask you, Father God, just to come and bring your healing virtue. And if there's anything in their spirit realm and their soulish realm, Father God, that's preventing that healing, any blockages, anything, Father Lord, let it be shown, let it be seen. And Lord, get them to a place of understanding that you, Lord, you are the everything, Father God. Lord, let them just take away, Lord, I ask you to take away any confusion, take away any doubt, take away any religious beliefs that are holding them back from intimacy with you, Father Lord. And mm-hmm. Father God, I just thank you for this ministry that you've, not only the ministry you've given me, but the ministry that you've given Carlotta and that what they're doing, Lord. Helping people see you face to face, helping people see, Father God, that what needs to be cleaned out, what needs to be cleaned up, Father God, so they can have life and life more abundantly. So I just speak a blessing over this ministry. And Lord, we joked earlier, Father God, that the millions and billions won't tune in because they hadn't tuned in, not because they weren't available. Lord, I just ask you, Father God, to increase the listeners to this to this broadcast. Increase the listeners, Father God. And Lord, as you touch their heart to listen, Lord, open their heart to receive what these people have, what they have to offer, Father God. And we just speak a blessing over this ministry, Father God. An increase in promotion, Father Lord, and over everyone that's listening, Father God, you know their deepest, darkest thoughts. You know their deepest, darkest concerns and heart cries, Father God. Those heart cries that they don't even tell men. And Lord, I ask you just to meet them where they're at, Father Lord. Meet them where they're at, Lord, and deliver your people, Father God, and make us deliverers of your people. As Moses, as you made them Moses, the deliverer of people, make us that deliverer of your people, Father God. Teach us, guide us, Lord, and lead us. And most importantly, let us learn how to love one another and love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we just want to encourage you to please contact someone. God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Please go to our websites. We've shared our contact information. You can search for Wayne Sutton or Carlotta Waldman or Crosswalk Life. You can search for his book, How in Hell Can I Change? And please give us a call. That's why we're here for you. And search for articles on our website in that search box, and you can find help because Jesus Christ has already planned a way to heal you and to set you free. You can call our office tomorrow, 724-206-0530, 724-206-0530. And if you'd like to give a donation to help keep this broadcast on the air, the contact information is there too. Please have a great week. Seek Jesus with all your heart. And join us again next week for more Crosswalk Talk. I live in your presence. Bridget.